Who was Buckminster Fuller, and what exactly did he do? Buckminster Fuller was among the most original thinkers of the 20th century. He is well known in many circles and almost unknown in others. What did he do? Well, more than 30 years after his death, a one-man show about Bucky's life will leave you wondering, what didn't he do? The inventor and visionary is most well known for his work with geodesic domes, but the play at Asheville's Black Mountain College Museum and Arts Center illustrates there was much more. The play is called Buckminster Fuller, The History and Mystery of the Universe. And joining us to talk about Buckminster Fuller is the man who will embody him, David Novak. Hello, David.
Hello, Frank. It's a pleasure to be here.
Who was Buckminster Fuller and what did he do? You've got 3 minutes. No.
The scientist said he was an engineer, and the engineer said he was an architect. The architects said he was a painter, and the painters all said he was a poet, and the poet said he was a philosopher, and the philosophers said he was a scientist.
An incredible
Buckminster Fuller would have called himself a comprehensive anticipatory design scientist.
Yeah, and he did anticipate many of our current problems. He certainly focused on energy as one of the more important problems for his attention anyway.
Oh, very much so, yeah. I mean, this was a man who was talking about the importance of conservation, recycling, and anticipating the proper use of resources and the stresses that we were putting on the ecology long before these were part of our common conversations.
The geodesic dome, I think the thing that if we know anything about Buckminster Fuller, we know that was his design, and it definitely had energy conservation in mind. Tell us, remind us about how that came about.
Well, the geodesic dome, first of all, is just a remarkable discovery based on Bucky's natural philosophy. I mean, he was looking for the way nature worked and trying to apply nature's processes and systems and structural integrities to the problems of design. The dome turns out to be the one structure that encloses the largest amount of volume for the least amount of material. And it gets stronger the larger you make it, unlike any other structure. The bigger you make the dome, the stronger and more integrity it has. It comes out of years of his working with what he called design science and problems of livingry. He felt that we really needed to reorient world production away from weaponry, away from killingry, towards livingry. And he began with looking at housing. And in the 20s, he, through a lot of personal circumstances, really felt the need for a better approach and understanding of housing and how housing worked. And so he had been really struggling with that for many years. Comes to the geodesic dome in the 40s, largely through North Carolina and the Black Mountain College experience here in the—
Well, tell us about that. Give us a brief history. He was not there long, but he certainly had an impact and did a lot of his most original work up there.
Yeah. No, well, it was a very innovative group, a very experimental sort of self-directed thinkers, a very creative group of people. And Bucky brought a lot to it and received a lot from his experience at Black Mountain College. He was first invited to be just a lecturer summer of 1947. Then he was invited back for the Summer Institute as an instructor, and he was teaching classes like the philosophy of measurement and experimental structures. In 1948, he came with the first draft of the idea of the geodesic dome, and he'd been working with it in model form for some while, and he had gotten hold of some materials that he could afford, which were aluminum stripping, that kind used for Venetian blinds. He brought a bunch of these blinds and decided to make this very large dome on the property using these and using the structure that he invented. They put it up, and it stood there for a moment, and then it slowly collapsed in on itself and fell to the ground because the aluminum stripping at that size didn't have the integrity to hold together. So they dubbed it the supine dome. And he came back the next summer with some students that he'd been working with at the Technology Institute of Design in Chicago. And they made the very first successful dome that really proved what he felt was possible, and that was a great opportunity to innovate there.
So he did that and much, much more. And now all these years later, there is a one-man show that in many ways illustrates much of the capacity of this man. Maybe I can get you, David, to sort of give us a scene or a part of a scene to give us a taste of what the show is about.
Yeah, you know, people have asked, is this a biography play or what? And it's really one of Bucky's talks, but he used his life experience anecdotally to explain his theories and his thinking and to build the larger construct of his philosophy, which incorporated many diverse ideas, which made him difficult to pin down because he was trying to be a comprehensive speaker and thinker. One of the most primary influences on him was the fact that he was born nearly cross-eyed and nearly blind. He had very bad vision for 4.5 years. All he saw were bulks and no distinctions between one object and another until he received glasses at the age of 4.5. And suddenly he could see the world in a very different way, and that profoundly influenced him. Shortly after that, he started kindergarten, and he tells about how one of my first days in kindergarten, the teacher brought us in some toothpicks and semi-dried peas and told us all to make structures. Well, the other children, with their good eyes, were familiar with houses, barns, structures. With my bad sight, seeing only bulks, I had no feeling at all for structural lines. My other senses were very sensitive, so when the teacher gave us toothpicks and told us to make structures, I tried to make something that would really work. Pushing and pulling, I found that a triangle really held its shape when nothing else seemed to. The other children made rectangular structures that seemed to stand, but the peas held them in shape. Meanwhile, my triangles felt good, nice, and sturdy. I didn't know that I made then what today in physics would be called an octahedron, tetrahedron truss, an isotropic vector matrix, but the teacher brought in all the other teachers to look at my triangular structure. I remember being surprised that they were surprised. I began thinking then that all nature's patterns must be based on triangles.
David Novak, performing from the one-man play that he's going to be performing at Black Mountain College Museum and Arts Center this weekend in Asheville. Yes, David, you were going to say.
No, so that was integral to he searched and at a key turning point in his life, a key point of crisis, he really had to do some serious thinking. And he went back and reviewed all his life experience, all the way back to that one in kindergarten, for example, to really understand what it was amounting to.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff. You know, I've only got about 30 seconds left. I want to know about your personal, how you came to know Bucky.
Well, in 30 seconds, it's going to be difficult. But I have to say, I was coming out of the fog of adolescence right about the time that his book, Operating Manual for Spaceship Earth, was published, and it just lit up my brain. I was hungry for thinking and innovation and excitement, and it was just delightful. And it really influenced me greatly in my teen years and early college years. And then I went on into life to explore life in the arts as a storyteller and a performing artist. And those influences remained there, but they became sort of subliminal. A few years ago, I was invited by a North Carolina stage company to take a look at this script that had come along, and all of a sudden, boom, I was invited out of the fog of middle age and reminded of something that was very important and foundational for my own process.
Oh, David, I am so happy that you have brought this very important figure back to life and are embodying him on stage. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Frank, thanks for having me here. It's been a pleasure.
David Novak is an actor and a storyteller. He spoke with us from WCQS in Asheville. You can catch David in the one-man play about Buckminster Fuller this weekend at Black Mountain College and Museum, the Arts Center in Asheville. To find out more about that performance, go to our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Robin Copley is our technical director. Jess Clark, our intern. Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.